All right, guys, welcome to the next episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear with Skip Hill. S2H, I'm Scott McNally. We're about to get into the show. Today, we are going to talk about this whole situation with Sean Roden. We've got a bunch of questions after that, so about the 30-minute point, I believe. I don't know. You can look at the program notes to see exactly. We've got questions such as HCG on TRT, B6 instead of Caber while taking Tren. How common is it to lose muscle while dieting? We got some Olympia predictions. Cialis while taking pre-workouts, is that going to kill you? Well, you can find out a little bit more about that. And I don't know, hear some more stories about what Skip's wife's doing right now at my house. Hey, I'll be right with you. I never make jokes like that. I never make jokes like that.
That's good, though.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. Guys, enjoy the show. At Voices Radio
Network. Blood, Sweat, and Gears for informational and educational purposes only. Kids, don't try any of this at home.
Goddamn, I'm glad y'all set it off. Used to be hard, now you just went and saw Bert. You was down with the AK. And now I see you on a video with Mitchell Lake looking like straight clothes. I saw it coming, that's why I went solo and kept on stomping while y'all motherfuckers moved straight out of Compton. Living with the white.
Guys, welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Scott McNally with Skip Hill and S2H. I'm going to skip my goddamn story about my capacitor now. But basically,
probably a good idea.
Here's the deal, though. So it was going to cost $500 to get an emergency technician for my air conditioning unit out to my house today. And Victoria and I figured out through YouTube that it was probably this capacitor, which cost me $15. I replaced it, and boom, fuck yeah, AC came right back on. I felt like a baller. That was nice.
At the expense of your Skype and your computer and everything else.
That's an issue in its own. There was some weird shit happening while you guys were gone, but I'm glad to have you back. For everybody who's tuning in to the recorded version of this podcast, we just had a bunch of bullshit go down in the background here, but none of you know about that. The 10 people that are viewing the show live do know about it. Let's just get this thing rolling. We don't even we didn't even script this thing. I know you guys wanted to talk about the whole Roden situation. I know that we've been texting back and forth for 2 weeks since this happened, and it was big news a couple weeks ago, and then it kind of died down, but now it's big news again. First of all, I want to say I heard there was this like tell-all interview with Roden. I watched a couple minutes of it. I didn't see anything about Sean Roden like telling the situation, though. And this was Michael O'Hearn's YouTube page. So he did a tell-all interview where he got to tell his side on the story. Did you guys get a chance to – did you hear anything about this?
Well, that's weird. I listened to the interview.
Yeah.
And I think I heard about as much as everybody else did.
Huh.
I'm thinking maybe he just used it for clickbait. Scott?
Oh. Huh.
I know. I didn't watch it because it's a waste of my time.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought you did and you figured out what I said. Yeah. I don't know. Look, I'm not going to bash on Mike, but I will say he took quite a beating. It was probably deserved because he didn't do a tell-all. I mean, there was nothing there. What it was, the way I understand it was set up, or he had set it up to where he was supposed to have Sean on a few days before everything happened.
Okay.
And so when it went time to air, I think he just, from the sounds of it, he just took advantage of the timing and was doing it to get clicks and knew that he didn't have an interview. He didn't have Sean's side of anything. So a lot of people went to listen to it, of course, and were disappointed, thought it was kind of a douchebag move. So if the information I have is incorrect, then I can get beat up, and I guess Michael Hearn needs to punch him in the face the next time he sees me, which is frequent. Well, I mean, him and I bump into each other a lot.
Do you really? Yeah.
No, hell no. Of course not.
Well, here's I'm going to go to, I didn't listen to the whole thing. Like I said, I'm 10 minutes in and I stopped it at that point because they were like, well, tell us about, they're like, they do this interview. I figured it's going to be this hard hitting thing. Like, what the fuck is going on? And thankfully now we get an opportunity to hear Sean Roden's side, and he's like, okay, let's get into this. tell me about where you grew up.
Right.
And I was like, huh? And I got 10 minutes in and I stopped it. I looked at the comments. Benjamin Dover says, clickbait, really? You're taking advantage of his situation for views. Nothing was said about his current legal situation. So I stopped listening after watching it after that. Someone else said, yeah, what an asshole. I'll never click on O'Hearn's videos again. And somebody else said, lost what little I respect I had for Mike. Unsubscribed now. Yeah. So anyway, there was a bunch more. And like other guys were saying, they unsubscribed. But I seriously, when I brought that to you guys, and I kind of set it up like I didn't know. But when I brought it to you guys, I really didn't know. I was like, oh, wow, we got a chance to hear what Roden has to say. But so, yeah, that's the situation, huh?
Yeah, nothing, basically. The situation is up in the air, and the reality is until, at least this is my opinion, until the 23rd, which is two more days, obviously when this goes, you know, is recorded and comes out on Thursday, his comment will have already been made public. But the point is on the 23rd, Sean is supposed to make a public comment or comment on it publicly. The only thing that I know that's really worth, and it could be argued that this isn't worth anything, but the latest I heard was that Sean had taken two polygraphs and passed them both.
Okay.
That really doesn't mean a whole lot. It doesn't, especially from a legal standpoint. I get that. However, and you have to understand, too, that I'm sure that they were, I would imagine, they're independent polygraphs. So, yeah. You know, paid for probably by him or his camp. So there's not much credibility in that. At the same time, I got a lot of questions on both sides. I mean, it's, and I think a lot of people do, just because nobody really knows what's going on. I think the biggest issue I have at this early stage with the whole situation is I don't know how comfortable I am that the IFBB is not allowing him to compete. And it sounds like he's banned for life. I don't know.
Really, for life?
Well, now here's the thing. I don't know, you know, if that's some kind of an embellishment that somebody said and everybody ran with. I don't know. But I don't know how you cannot be allowed to compete based entirely on an accusation that hasn't been founded or unfounded. It's just kind of bizarre. Now, they could have something written into the IFBB contracts that would almost have to say, even though you didn't do something, if you've been accused of it and it's bad enough and it falls under these, you know, this category of things, you can't compete. They're not letting him compete. I don't know. That really sounds kind of fucked up, to be honest with you. So I don't even know. I hope there's not some truth to some things and more truth to others. And I think what's happening is there's a lot of speculation going on. And we are, too. We're trying to make sense of the small amount of information that's out there already. And I don't know. I mean, it was our idea, all three of us, to talk about it because I think it's important and people do want to know. At the same time, we're speculating like everybody else.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they have a conduct clause and it's probably kind of broad, but this is just, I don't know for sure, but I would say from their standpoint, and I want to, for one thing, I'll say I take this from an objective standpoint and I critically think. I don't read this garbage on the internet and all this disinformation that comes out, because that's what it is. You get a lot of disinformation to bend things the way whatever who's reporting it, or they just parrot it and repeat it. I mean, it's all a bunch of garbage most of the time.
Well, yeah, but that's how you got your information. How else would you know about it? I mean,
But you got to look at it from, if you take it from a 10,000-foot view and take it objectively, because a lot of people it's like politics. They want to get on one side or the other. Hey, I don't know. He may have done it, but he may not have. He has a right to go to court. You know, that's the justice system, and he has a right to be tried by a jury. And until then, he's innocent until proven guilty.
Right. Now, so shouldn't he be allowed to compete?
But here's the point of the IFBB. And I'm just saying, this is what I would think they were thinking probably, is they probably have a conduct policy that protects them if they deem that they don't want someone to compete. Because what if he competes and wins a show and then he ends up getting convicted?
I got some new intel here, too.
It looks really bad on them.
Just a little bit of intel. I guess, so what Steve is saying is it's not the IFBB, it's just the Olympia.
Yeah, so
he's not banned from the IFBB. It's that, yeah, the Olympia isn't letting him compete specifically.
Okay, fair enough. Then it's the Olympia, not the IFBB. I think my point still holds true, though. It's an accusation. Nothing has been founded. I mean, think about it. It sounds very conspiratorial, but what if listen, and I don't care if anybody likes what, you know, this analogy or this comparison or not, but what if Phil Heath's camp, and clearly this is hypothetical, I'm not picking at Phil Heath, but the fact that he lost last year, and maybe he's coming back this year, which I hear he's not anyway, but let's just say he wants to, and he doesn't want Sean to be there. They can get somebody to fabricate something, and then all of a sudden he can't be there to defend his crown. That doesn't make any sense. I don't understand how there is. I don't even understand how, as the Olympia LLC, you can make it. You can do that. Now, is it because just because he was charged? There has to be something black and white. It can't just be the accusation. It can't.
Well, they probably have a conduct policy.
I understand there's a conduct policy. If there's a conduct policy in place, there almost has to be. But what is it? Is it if you're charged with something, then you don't get to compete? Or is it if somebody makes an accusation?
Conduct policies are pretty broad in general, and it allows the any business or any kind of governing body of sports, whatever, to implement whatever rules they want. I mean, this is why golf has kept their conduct policies like it's like state secrets, because they judge how they want to with people. And it's not, but the, you know, if they're private entities, they can do whatever they want. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but I would see in their situation, they're like, okay, if this guy really gets convicted, but we let him compete before he goes to trial and he wins, how does that look on our organization? Then you get all the problem is then you get all this backlash from all these media outlets and all this crap you get from people, and then they'll say you did, you know, you let a rapist win your show. I mean, I think the danger of the outcome for them is high, so they just want to separate themselves. But I don't think it's, in a way, I don't think it's fair, because we have a judicial system, but, you know, life's not fair. And
he already won it. He already won it. So if he turns out to be a rapist, we already have a rapist Mr. Olympia. So now we have a rapist Mr. Olympia, and then we have one who steals shit and doesn't return it.
I was waiting for that. I
mean, yeah, not exactly, you know, we don't have a good track record here if he's not going to help. I mean, I'm trying to add a little bit of levity, I guess.
It's an
ugly situation no matter what. So, but he's already won the Mr. Olympia. So if he turns out to be a rapist, he already won the fucking Olympia. Scott, whether he wins it a second time doesn't matter. It doesn't make him any more of a rapist.
Scott, you're totally off camera, by the way.
I know, I'm hiding from Skip. I mean, it's, you know, that's your opinion. And, you know, I can see your point. I'm not going to argue with you, because I'm just saying that, who knows? I mean, I say this, if they're going to say that he can't compete, they should give a sound reason behind it.
Exactly.
Then not just say, hey, you can't compete and that's it. You know, they should put, because the IFB, what's his name? What's the guy that runs it? Mannion. He put out a memo today. It was very short, but it was the way it was handled was correctly. It said that as of right now, you know, he basically just repeated the law. You know, he's accused, but he's not convicted, and we'll let him have due process. I mean, it's pretty short, but I mean, just to say the guy can't compete. I mean, if they have a clause, they have a conduct clause. They should say they're citing their conduct clause, but it probably is so general that it'll just stir up more controversy, you know. And then you got people all over social media, and everybody's got an opinion. But hey, man, the guy has, you know, he's got a legal right to defend himself. And you know, I'm not saying he did it. I'm not saying he didn't. I don't know. I mean, to sit out there and say, to give judgment on it from the outside, I think is just that's getting on that one-sided track where you're just going to defend somebody just for defend them, or go against them just to go against them. You know, you don't know. Maybe some people ought to do their homework too, because no one really looks into things anymore. They just read what's on social media.
That's true.
You know, and I'm telling you, man, a lot of this shit's just disinformation to throw people one way or the other. People don't look into stuff anymore. They don't use their own minds. They just sit there and just go, oh, you know, so-and-so said on Instagram or whatever, and then God knows it's got to be true.
And well, and that's the thing. I mean, it doesn't even have to have happened now for this to really have screwed him over. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. For exactly that same reason. You know, because it, this is what he was accused of, then for the rest of, you know, his life, there's so many people that, like, really don't care, that don't care enough to really look into it. But if they see that just on their newsfeed really quick, then they're like, oh, yeah, Sean Brodin, rapist, period. That's mm-hmm. it. End of story. Move on. You know, take my next selfie. So,
I mean, well, even if he's not, even if he's found not guilty, or the case is dismissed, I mean, his reputation is tarnished.
Sure,
bad. The only person that get away with this is Tiger Woods. He'd be fine. You know, they'd be like, oh, no big deal. You know,
and I think because of the way bodybuilding is and bodybuilding fans look, if you're a big fan of Sean Roden, I guarantee you believe him and you think it's never that he would never do anything like that. I'd like to think he wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But if you're a fan of his, if you're a fan of Phil's and you want Phil to come back, I'll bet that if we did a small poll in a survey, the large majority of Phil fans would think he's a rapist.
Yeah, because I can see that.
That's how people make their goddamn decisions sometimes.
You're right. You're right.
And it's really, really sad. Because here's what you have. Somebody's fucking lying. One or two people here is lying.
Yeah.
Okay? It's either the person who made the accusation, who has technically done it before and has done it to federal investigators or something along that line, was actually charged with it as a federal crime. So it's very possible that she's full of shit. There are other, I don't want to say, there are other details of the situation that make you scratch your head and go, God, if I was her husband, why would I wait in the lobby while my wife goes up to her trainer's room and she'll be right back?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's just some questions there. And some people may say, well, Skip, you don't know what happened. That's very, very true. But the point is, there are questions there. Hmm. And then you think, God, you know, you look at somebody like Sean Roden, and I'm kind of apathetic when it comes to Sean. I think his physique is awesome. I think that he deserved to beat Phil last year. He's also very uneventful and not very, what's the word? Not very, like, he's not bad for bodybuilding or bad for the Olympia or bad for Mr. Olympia as far as PR and everything else. But I think he'd just rather sit back, chill at his house, not do anything, fucking smoke a doobie, and be left alone. He really doesn't care how much money he makes, things like that. I mean, he just seems like a very chill, roll with it kind of guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why he would have to force himself on someone who has a history based on text messages and everything else that she's kind of been flirting with him and shit like that. I mean, he's allegedly has all these text messages to prove that. Now, yeah. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. But there's just a lot of bizarre. And let's be fair. It certainly is not going to be something that couldn't happen for someone to accuse Sean of doing something that he didn't do to this level and then have it come back to be one of these fucked up things where you go, how could you possibly fucking say something like that? Mm. Now, that's going to sound or potentially could sound unsympathetic to a potential rape victim. And I understand that. So beat the fuck out of me there and call me anti-woman and all that sort of shit.
But it does happen.
But it's possible.
It has happened. Listen,
those are the times we live in.
I just posted a comment. David Spencer, one of our listeners, said, I don't know who this guy is. He says, Ched Evans is his name. C-H-E-D Evans, professional football player. And of course, I'm just going by what he says here. I haven't looked this up. Was convicted of rape in April 2012 and spent two and a half years in prison. His conviction was quelled on April 21st, 2016 by the Court of Appeal, and a retrial was ordered on October 14th, 2016. He was found not guilty. His career was ruined in mm-hmm. the process.
Yeah, and it's a tough situation.
It's fucking nuts. Because
clearly, you have to take accusations of rape very, very seriously.
Absolutely.
And at the same time, sometimes we're just taking. You know, I go back to those girls who made the accusations against that. And this should have been done before the show, but the what was it, a lacrosse team or a rugby team or something, where the
Duke team,
thank you, totally destroyed this fucking team and everybody on it. The whole country was against them, and these crazy bitches were fucking lying. There's a lot of power in this, and I hate to term it or to use this term to describe, but in this rape what do I want to say, like, debate era that we're in. I mean, it holds a lot of, they hold a lot of power. So if you want to bullshit and you want to get everybody's attention, you want a lot, you've got everybody's attention when you say somebody raped your ass.
Absolutely.
Because not a lot of people can say, oh, we need to sit here and question it, because as soon as you question a rape victim, you're a fucking asshole and you're anti-woman and everything else. It's tough. It's really a tough position. I hope like hell he did not do it. I really do. And if she is lying, I hope they fucking slam her and put her in the goddamn jail too. And if Sean did it, if Sean fucking raped her, his ass needs to go to fucking jail for a long time too. And it'll be interesting, I think, to watch it play out and see who is full of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got to wait for it to go to the court. I mean, you know, there's not enough information out there to make any real decision for anybody. No,
but that's why I think he should be allowed to compete. I really do think he should be allowed to compete. I think it's a pretty shitty thing, because if he ends up that it goes and runs its course and they go to trial and he's found guilty or he pleads to it or whatever else, he deserves everything he gets.
Sure, I agree. But until then, man, he's innocent until that time, right? I mean, no matter what.
Apparently. Yeah. I mean, he's supposed to, but he can't compete. He can't do what he needs to do to make a living. That's a
very
big
weird situation, man. And just to think, man, even if they do, I mean, just this happening, I feel like a lot less situations have thrown a great bodybuilder off from being his very best. You know what I mean? Just throw a guy in jail for a couple weeks, break him through the coals like this. This is not going to be good for his physique. I mean, that's obvious, but we haven't said that. It's like, even if he is allowed to compete, is he going to be able to be his best? I mean, think about it, man. Think about how easy it is to get thrown off just having to travel for a weekend, you know, let alone the level of stress that he has to be going through right now. Whether he did it or not, that's totally beside the point, man. Like, let's look at it from a bodybuilding perspective. He's fucked, really. He's fucked.
What about social media? Yeah, he'd have to put up daily if he's not already putting up with it now.
Yeah.
He's got to put up with 50% probably of those people thinking, yeah, you fucking did that. You're an asshole. You're a piece of shit. Oh, man. And he has no choice. He has to deal with social media because he's got a brand. He's got a brand that he's got to stay out there and promote.
Yeah.
That's rough, man.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Well, I think there's some other, I mean, there's some stuff to it that just, it'll come out and, you know, I mean, it's like his bail. That thing was insane. I mean, that thing was like, if it's true, which I'm questioning if that's the right amount, because that is insane, even though what he's accused of is real serious. But I mean, I looked up Utah's laws, and for him to get a bail that high, I don't see how that could even be accurate. The only way it could be is if they thought he was a higher risk of flight. Mm. But more so, I think there were, I mean, obviously between his attorney and the prosecution, the DA's office in Utah, there's been a lot of dialogue in this time frame between last October, and I'm gonna just assume that his bail's that high because they're allowing him freedom of movement and to live in another state and stuff.
Right.
Because there's no other reason why it would be that high. I mean, I was looking at our laws. I mean, the most his bail could be, if he was not a flight risk and didn't have a prior, which he doesn't, would be like $75,000. So maybe somebody, that would be the max. So I think someone might have tossed an extra zero in there.
Mm.
Or they made a deal where he could have freedom of movement in the U.S. and stuff to work and what have you. But, yeah, I just that's why when you read shit, sometimes it's like, okay, is this really the truth? I mean, there's people that have committed a capital murder, a lot of them, that don't have bail that high, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's so that's where I, you know, when reading all that stuff, it's like, you know, you got to really think for yourself and just take a, I just like to say, let the process take its course and, you know, we'll see what happens. It may not even go to trial, you know? There's still there's a lot of steps in that process. I mean, he just got indicted. Another thing, too, is that Utah rarely ever uses a grand jury. I mean, it is, like, super rare. So I don't even think that occurred. They just put a warrant out based off of the investigation and then the preliminary findings of the prosecutor and went from there.
Well, and so, let me be fair to Phil too, because I think my wording earlier, I don't want to give the wrong idea. I mean, I think I said steal. Phil didn't necessarily steal a bracelet. He had a bracelet in his possession and didn't fucking return it. So I'll leave it at that. It's to say he stole it. I don't want to get tied up in semantics, but I don't want some asshole, you know, also getting shitty with me saying that I said that he stole it. That's probably not the best verbiage. But the point is when you take something and you don't give it back, I think we can all agree, and then act like you don't have it. I think most people would agree that's fucking stealing. But nonetheless, I got to be careful with that too. Wait, out of respect for Phil.
You got to fill me in. What's this bracelet story you're talking about?
yeah, because nobody knows about that.
Let's go to a quick break, guys. Hold on, we got more?
Hold on. I'm in a phone call. Hold on. Hey, Dr. Scott. Yeah, I'll straighten Skip out. Yeah. Okay, no problem. Yeah, hey, dude, get rid of the mohawk. Was kind of crooked in the show. Can you straighten out a little bit? Okay, cool. Bye. No problem. I had a little phone call.
I think it's break time.
All right. Let's take a quick break, guys, for the radio listeners. We'll be back in just a second with a bunch of bodybuilding questions. You guys.
I had to get it in there.
When something happens in South Central Los Angeles, nothing happens. It's just another nigga dead, 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 dead. Straight out of Compton, crazy motherfucker named Ice Cube. From the gang called Niggas with...
All right, guys, I'm going to make this break really quick. Like, thank you for listening to it. Thanks for not fast-forwarding. I'm going to talk about the same product I talked about for the drugs and stuff advertisement this week, and that is for our sponsor, True Nutrition's product called Carboload. Carboload is a complex, fast-acting carbohydrate that you can use intra-workout, post-workout, in between meals, for part of your meals to boost your carbohydrates up, whatever you like. They have an unflavored version, which you can mix with other things, or they have the watermelon. That's what I would use if I'm using it for an intra workout, along with the essential amino acids in the bulk form that True Nutrition sells. It's like $30 for a big old bag of that, and $20 for a pound of Carboload. That's a hell of a deal. You get 50 grams of carbs per serving. I had used this for a long, long time when I needed to use intra-workout carbs. And look, here's the benefit of this product. The price, $20. You're not going to get that with any other carbohydrate powder that you're going to use intra-workout. So definitely, if finances are something that you want to pay close attention to and you still want to get the most bang for your buck, even before True Nutrition had sponsored us, this is a product that I had used for years because, well, I like to save money. So check it out, Carboload from TrueNutrition.com. And please use our code ADVICES because that helps us to continue putting out these shows for you guys. One more note, check out TeamSkip.com. Some guy named Skip Hill, I don't know, you might have heard of him. Yeah, Skip. That's his website, and you can reach out to Skip there if you'd like to talk to him about doing some contest prep or just dieting down or an off season. Skip can help you. He's been coaching for over 20 years. He's got a ton of experience, and he can get you to your goals. So check out TeamSkip.com, and of course, go to the Intense Muscle Message Board, which is the home of all things DC training. You could see all of Dante's great threads there, from like Cycles for Pennies, everything else. You can learn everything about the history of DC, and you can apply that stuff in the gym yourself. All right, guys, thanks again for not fast-forwarding through the ads. Let's get back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear. Yes. Oh,
look, you might take it as a trip, but a nigga like Ren is on the gangster tip, straight out of Compton.
All right. Welcome back to Blood, Sweat, and Gear, guys. Scott McNally with Skip Hill and S2H. Feel like things are going smooth, but I'm still holding my breath on this one. We have a bunch of questions, though. I'm going to go over to Instagram first. So, Skip, I haven't really asked you, man, or Scott. How you guys doing, Skip? You mentioned you're back into bodybuilding. You're lifting weights again, Skip?
Skip?
Who, me?
Yeah, you're lifting weights again? You've been getting in the gym?
I thought you were picking at Scott for losing 10 pounds. I think that's a pretty monumental feat there. He's lost 10 pounds.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Nobody. I don't think anybody has.
Tomorrow makes tomorrow makes, I think, like 2.5 weeks. I totally cleaned my diet up. I mean, I just committed. So I've been in cardio 4 to 5 days a week, back lifting. I'm not, you know, I'm still, like, I'll tell you what, I did some chest yesterday, and what else did I do? Biceps. So for chest, I did, like, 4 sets of dumbbell incline presses up to 60s, and then I did some crossovers, and that's it. Because I've learned my lesson in the past, and I'm sore right now, so I'm easing back into it. But yeah, I'm down about 10 pounds. My pants are getting looser. And the only problem is I've been doing the incline on the treadmill, and I've been getting up, you know, 10, 12 degrees, and my knees have been real sore, my lower back. So I think I gotta wear different shoes, maybe. That's what my wife suggested. But yeah, it's been going good, man. I've been sticking to it. I have not been through a drive-thru in 2.5 weeks.
Nice.
Salads. Well, I was crapping like crazy at first. Man, it was all kinds of roughage going through me. So, yeah, I mean, I just made up my mind. And I saw a picture of myself from something a couple months ago, and I was like, who was that fat ass? I'm like, oh, that's me. So I was 239, and I'm actually, I've lost 11, so I was 228 today.
Nice. Hell yeah, man.
You know, a lot of water on that, but yeah, it I feel better other than my knees.
Skip, well, as a coach with 20 plus years of experience, if you have a client who's doing cardio and getting knee issues like Scott is, what would be your suggestions to him?
Something that is no <Hurt your knees. laughs> shut the fuck up. He asked me. You be quiet. God damn. Mute his fucking mic. I thought your power bars were going down. See, I'm going to make reference to the time that we lost before we started the show because there was such good shit there. Yes. Anyway, as a matter of fact, I'm really disappointed that was lost. But anyway, that's an impact. It's especially the lower back. You know, with the lower back on an incline like that, you need something that's no or low impact. Mm. So you need to get your fat ass on an elliptical. That's what you need to do.
No, that sounds like a plan.
That would be my advice to my client, not to Scott, but to my client. You need to get your fat ass on an elliptical.
And what's going on with your training?
I'm 4 weeks in, and weights are becoming a little lighter.
Yeah?
And I'm filling out a little more.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, it's going the way. You know, it's just uneventful, and it's boring. I write my coach logs for Elite FTS every week, and it's like, there's nothing to report. Oh, I did have a small ding in my lower back the last couple days. Hmm. Like it was irritated for a day and a half. I had to walk a little gingerly until I got warm when I got out of bed. But then I went and trained legs and I killed them and everything was good. So I don't know if I slept on it wrong or what. But the point is it's just boring. Like I have a hard time writing about what's going on because it's uneventful. But uneventful is good. It means I don't have any injuries. It means things are going the way they're supposed to. So I have no complaints. Everything is really good right now.
You ever feel, as a coach, do you ever feel like almost like, I should, like with a client that you're looking at? Because when things are good, like you might not have to change anything this week or next week or the following week. If you get into that really good groove, that could happen. You ever feel like you need to explain that? Because sometimes I feel bad almost like, it's not that I'm not looking at what you're doing or paying attention. You just don't need to change anything. Like it's going so well, you know?
Yeah. I've had coaches before tell me, coach friends, that sometimes they will change things with their clients just because they haven't changed anything in a while. Mm. And I'm like, what?
Yeah, I've kind of heard that kind of thing too.
Like, yeah, you know, you gotta make sure that they don't think you're not changing anything. I'm like, this is like the dumbest, stupidest shit ever.
Yeah.
Just explain to your clients, and I use this mantra all the time I have for you. Mama said you don't fix what ain't broke. You let it ride, and as long as it's working, you let it ride. You don't fuck with shit for no reason. That doesn't make any sense. You just have to explain to your clients because you make a good point, Scott. Sometimes they may think you're not fucking doing anything.
Right.
But they should know that everything is going the way that it's supposed to. And when that's happening, I mean, the other alternative is you just get greedy. Well, I'm growing and I'm getting leaner, but it's not enough. And if you think with that type of mentality, all you're going to do is fuck some shit up, and then all of a sudden you're not progressing as well.
Right. Or you're getting fat, right?
Yeah, and I think, too, it's the argument between being reactive or proactive. And everybody, damn near everything we do, it's better to be proactive with health and everything else. But when it comes to making changes with a plan, I'll be the first to admit I'm reactive. I'm not going to make a change going, well, this might happen. Yeah. So maybe we should. No. It needs to be reactive. In that way, you're only making changes when they're needed.
Totally agree. I got a bunch of questions here. Skip posted a thread. I posted a thread. First question I have here is, this might be something that Scott's good with. I'm not sure what your thoughts are, Scott or Skip. Is there any benefit to running HCG on long-term TRT? Scott?
No, I'm not a big fan of it.
No,
no, but that's it's kind of a contradiction.
Really. I know people that do though. Because do you use any HCG, Skip?
No, God no.
Yeah, me either.
You know what? That sounded bad because that the way I answered it implies that is stupid, and that's not. I don't want to give that implication. What I'm saying is this is why I think it sounds counterintuitive. If you're taking TRT, you're replacing your testosterone because you have low levels of testosterone. What the hell do you need HCG? HCG is to maintain or help to maintain endogenous levels of testosterone so that your basically your nuts don't shut down and they continue to kick out testosterone. I guess it could be argued that, okay, you're taking HCG then because they're not functioning very well and they're at 200, but you're trying to kick them up to 350 and then put TRT on top of it.
Maybe
I look at TRT differently, I guess. So I'm not going to say it's wrong, just to say I don't look at it that way. If you're taking TRT, you're taking it, I would think, because you need to be, because without it your levels are too low. So to take HCG and TRT, I'm not going to subscribe to that. I don't know that that's the best. I would say I could see taking HCG by itself to try to get yourself into natural, or not natural, but into normal ranges.
Sure.
But then if you're going to take TRT on top of it, I don't know. Maybe there's a combination of, okay, if you're at 200, HCG will get you to 400, and then you can take only a little bit of TRT to get you to 500. I mean, I guess you could do that. I don't like, it seems complicated. Yeah. Seems like it's just overly complicated, and it doesn't need to be.
Most people take it when they're on cycle a long time, make their balls hang back down and get their load up.
Yeah, and on a cycle, increase, I can understand sperm production. But not on TRT. That I don't, and I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm just saying I don't subscribe to it.
Yeah, I've seen it with you know, HRT doctors that prescribe it. I've got friends and clients that have used HCG. You know, the dose will be like, their protocol will be something like, you know, 200 milligrams of test sip a week, along with 250 HCG twice a week, that type of thing. So,
yeah, stimulate LH, FSH.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's some, if you look at the way that they, both of them act in the body, they're kind of counterproductive in some ways, or you're just beating the horse to China a little bit too. So, yeah, most people I know that have taken them just because when their balls get all drawn up, they want them to hang back down, and they want to get rid of those little drippy droppies they get after being on cycle for a long time.
Right, but I agree with you about the cycle completely. I'm still not an HCG guy, but if I was young and I didn't have any of the rotten kids that I do and I was worried about fertility or anything like that, yeah, I probably would run HCG on cycles. But to run it with TRT, because that was the question, that I don't subscribe to that. I'm not saying it's wrong, like you said, Scott. There may be doctors that do that. Maybe that helps to keep the actual testosterone dosages down. I don't know. That I don't know, but I'm not going to subscribe to it. Take drugs or don't take drugs. Make your fucking mind up already.
Well, they're both drugs.
I know. Come on. I'm trying to...
I'm looking for Skip's question thread here. I wanted to get to Skip's stuff first.
You know what? Before you do that, let me just say this. I got to get this out here because I keep checking my phone.
Yeah.
Sorry. My wife is in Michigan.
Oh, no kidding.
To see her mom right now. I don't want to get into that.
Make the kind of jokes you'd make, I'd be like, oh, yeah, so am I. And yeah, she says exactly. Hi.
Now if she comes on the feed drunk, shut her ass down. Don't even, just like, block her.
Hold on, she wants to sit down.
Yeah, I'm sure. Or come up from under the desk.
Oh, there you go. That was a good one.
She's like, McNally's on HCG.
Clomid.
I think
you have your vitamin D levels.
Brush your teeth before you come home.
Skip.
I just totally, you know, let me ask you something. This is for Scott McNally. Does it sound like S2H? I'm going to ask the listeners too. Does it sound like S2H lives on the road that they used in Pet Sematary?
Is that his feed that sounds like there's a semi? I just heard a Mack truck go by.
Right. Okay. So if anybody has seen Pet Sematary, they'll understand the reference. Because I think every minute during this podcast, during this show, there's a tanker going up and down your road. And that was the whole thing with Pet Sematary, because it ended up killing the kid, Gage.
Yeah.
Well, I'm at my job at the Love's truck stop, and you know how it is. I don't know. What do you mean? Do you go outside and stop traffic?
Well, I guess you can't do anything. I've never noticed it before, though.
You have a question here for Mr. Skip Hill. He may have covered this, but I'll ask anyways. Compare his TRT prep to some of his other preps where he did the standard prep cycle, pros and cons. How much of a difference was it as far as muscle mass, conditioning, recovery, etc.? I have something I can add in on this, but I'm curious to hear, too. Skip.
Well, I mean, it was, you know, substantially different. During the prep phases when I was on TRT, I am certain that I was explaining it like it wasn't much different. Because I wanted it to not be. You know what I mean? But if I'm being honest,
you wanted to believe it, you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, in defense of myself and my opinions at that time, I think that it went far better than I anticipated that it would. And that's why I think I was trying to convey it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It wasn't this huge, you know, like there's nothing here, this fucking blows. But I mean, the reality is it was still day and night. TRT is still TRT, and being gassed is fucking awesome. Yeah, it's a big difference. Recovery, huge.
One thing I'll say, this is the only thing I can compare it to. So when I first started competing, you know, I used your standard test trend master on, and as I progressed, I thought to myself, well, you know what, I'm going to try dialing stuff back. I pulled my test back lower than I had before, and I will say the thing I noticed was that I was harder to stay as big and as full as I would have otherwise. Would you say you noticed a difference in your size?
Yeah, and that plays into condition. I mean, I don't know that I was necessarily, you know, not leaner, but even if you have the same body fat level and you're not as swole, you know, your muscle isn't as full and it's just not as big, it's just a different look. So the other thing was too is even when I was TRT, I was still using a lot of the same things, I believe, for like Clen and T3 and shit, you know, to get lean. So I didn't really have much of a problem getting lean. But it just is it's just a completely different look. It's like pulling the air hose out. You know, when you're gassed, you have an air hose in each muscle and everything is swollen. You feel like you have a pump most of the time, even when you don't. Yeah. And when you're on TRT, that only pump your ass has is when you're in the gym working that muscle.
Right.
That's it.
For like the following 5 minutes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And that's about it.
And just when we thought it was just all skip loading, it wasn't.
Scott?
When you skip load, it's kind of like having a pump too. But anyway, go ahead.
S2H, B6 as an alternative to caber for Tren.
Yeah, no kidding.
I've never done this before.
What did Skip say earlier? If you're going to use drugs, use drugs. But I don't like caber anyway too much.
Yeah.
I think it's overused. People just take it because they think they got to take it when they really don't have to take it. It's probably one of those ones and it's expensive if you buy it in Europe or whatever, if you live there. You know, I mean, it's just, I think it's one of those things, I have to take it because I'm doing this. And I think it's one of those ones that's like way overused, way overthought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
B6 has some effect, and it's a hell of a lot cheaper, so you might as well start with B6.
Mm-hmm. So it does work.
Yeah, I mean, it's got action. Yeah, I mean, it's I've heard people I respect say that it works, but, you know, I don't think people have the prolactin problems they think they have.
Right, it's exactly.
Like, oh, I'm going to take Trend, so I'm going to take Kaber at $55 uphill.
Yeah.
You know, whatever the hell it is. You know, I mean.
It's funny, too, because people used to do Trend and you wouldn't hear, oh, and now anytime anybody gets on Trend, especially the first time, I think my nipples are sensitive. Bitch, if you don't know your nipples are sensitive, trust me, they're not sensitive.
Yeah. Mine,
you're not,
are.
Like, I don't know. I've been playing with them for the last 30 minutes. Yeah, well, no shit. That's why they're sensitive. Right. You're having your boyfriend bite on them, and they won't be so goddamn sensitive.
Yeah, I was rubbing sandpaper on for 2 hours, and they got sensitive.
Yeah, exactly. I think you make a good point. A lot of people just naturally assume that they need it. I don't think they're, you know, prolactin sensitivity. If you truly need Kaber, then B6 isn't going to do shit for you. So I don't think it's going to do much anything, but I do think a lot of the people, just like you said, I think a lot of people think they need it and they don't, and it is not cheap. I completely agree. There's some nice side effects though.
Yeah.
How about this one? This is from our friend Gazzy, John Flapjack over there.
Gazzy.
Yes. In the UK. He says, let's see. He has a question on carb cycling. Does it work for the off season with growing? I was thinking it may be effective for growing and maintaining some degree of condition and leanness. I've only ever used it in prep. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it's a pretty broad question because carb cycling, I mean, there's like a million different. I've heard people even refer to skip loading as carb cycling. I don't look at
kinda, but like technically kinda, right? You know?
Yeah, technically, I guess. But there's just so many ways to do it. I mean, my knee jerk or my first reaction is, you know, anytime that you have a stagnant or stale or caloric intake that is predictable, I don't think that's very good. So whether you know, mix it up with a different level of carbs or just a different level of calories in general, you need to mix something up. It just can't be, it shouldn't be predictable. The body shouldn't get the same caloric intake every day, which is funny when you think about it, because even if it did and you did have the same caloric intake every day, you likely don't have the same caloric output. So there's that.
Yeah, that's a good
you
know, point.
But just I would say my response would be yes. Cycle them, even if it's just training to non-training days, which is very typical anyway. And I think a lot of people who cut their carbs down on non-training days and they're higher on training days probably don't even consider that carb cycling, but it is.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think, Scott? Nice hat.
Yeah, you can do it. Stick some Humalog on your training days with the carbs and you're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I've done stuff like that myself, just to throw that in there. And that's all.
Just saying.
That's all. I'll move on, find the next question here. We've got all these different places. If you guys haven't noticed, the forum is not available anymore over at advicesradio.com. We're going to just start taking all of our questions through social media because it seems like that's where everybody wants to post anyway. You know, nobody posts at message boards anymore. So we shall continue posting threads. We've got one about guesses and predictions for the Olympia. We'll hold off on that. We had another question here about, topic, losing muscle. How hard is it really to lose muscle while you're dieting for you know, to get lean? Well, not even say for a contest. Let's just say, how hard is it or how easy is it? How likely are you to lose muscle while you're dieting? I know we talked about this before. This is like going way back for people who are probably listening to like episode 25. Do you remember, Skip? You enlightened me a lot because I was telling you guys about how I had a hard time maintaining mass in my legs. And, you know, a couple months later, I could get them to fill back out, but they got really resistant to carbs. And you had told me really it just had to do with just getting depleted, that I wasn't really losing muscle. And I learned a lot from that those conversations. It's been a while since then, though. How common is it to really lose muscle while you're dieting?
Well, I think pretty uncommon.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you pretty much just would have to get to the point where you were chronically over-dieted for a a long fucking time. And what'll happen is, it's hard to explain, but let's just say you over diet for a long time and you're really depleted and everything else. You would then, and you went into a show that way, you would say, oh, you know, I was over dieted and, you know, when really you were just depleted. So if you're really over dieted and you think you've lost muscle, it's really just you need to get to the point where you're not that depleted anymore. Mm. And you just need to fill back. Either not be overtrained, not be that depleted, not that beat up. And so I don't think outside of, you know, and I want to hear what Scott has to say about this, but I don't think you're really going to lose muscle tissue unless you have a fucking disease and you like come off gear or something that's going to make you real. I don't think dieting it away. You'd have to diet for a long time, quite a while. Very, very hard to lose muscle mass. What say you, Scott?
I would say if you're enhanced, it is very difficult to lose muscle. Hmm. If you're natural and you are in a huge caloric deficit and you're doing a lot of and doing cardio, then the brain's going to go for muscle as the fastest food source. But you have to be in a pretty big deficit and you have to have some cardiovascular training in there, most likely to lose muscle. But I think it all comes down to is everybody thinks they're bigger than they are until they diet down and they realize, I mean, we've all seen them.
Yeah.
Guys that are like 225, I'm going to compete, you know, light heavy. And he's like 16 weeks out and he ends up being like 175 pounds. So, you know, I think people think they are bigger because, you know, when you're eating a lot and, you know, you're not dieting, you have a lot more nitrogen retention, tons more, you have a lot more sodium, you know, essential minerals in your system, and you're filling out, you're staying fuller, and that's just water and in the muscle and filling you out. Then you diet down, you realize that you think you're losing muscle, but you really, and it's the same thing with people that say, I gained 20 pounds this year, and they diet back down, and there's like 3 pounds heavier than last year. A lot of it's in your head. But if you're enhanced, and you're just not, you know, on fucking Survivor or one of those shows on TV where you're eating like a mango every 3 days. No, I don't think you're going to lose muscle. So
I think if I'm Scott, I'm just going to get up and I'm going to leave.
You like that?
Yeah, we need to cut his pay.
I'm like, what
the fuck? I'm just going to leave. I'm going to leave. I went to go grab my
flux capacitor.
I went to go grab my laptop, actually.
Okay, I thought maybe you had to take a shit or something. I didn't know what you were doing.
Yeah. Your wife asked me to do something. I don't know.
Letting Mrs. Skip out. little did you know that Skip's wife just crawled out from underneath the desk while you got up.
Go get in there a Tic Tac or something.
Going to clean up that spilled mayonnaise.
No, the truth is, I was afraid after the computer crashed last time. I was afraid to press any buttons on Facebook. So I just wanted to use our program as we are, and then I'll go to look at the rest of our questions on my laptop. I figured that would be a safer bet.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So anyway, because we do have a couple more. Skip, you had a shout-out, didn't you?
Shout-out, shout-out. Dan and Michelle Kennedy from Canada, clients of mine. Also, they're clients of mine / syrup. They're like my syrup exporter importers.
Ooh.
For quality Canadian badass amber syrup, maple syrup.
Nice. Maybe that's a business for you, Skip.
Yeah, I know, right? Because you know I'm a syrup. I mean, if anybody like wants to get in good with me or like say they're sorry or anything like Scott Stevenson, maybe. Like if you're Scott Stevenson.
Maybe that's how your vitamin D stays up so high. The syrup.
Right, yeah. Syrup. Yeah, syrup. Exactly. Send me syrup. That's awesome. Now, if you don't like me, you could just send me gear and tip off the DEA. I mean, that'd always be cool, too. We could probably cut that out of the...
nope, it's all live. And you guys can ship things directly to Skip at this address on your screen.
1-800 Melanatan Drive.
I'm looking at our questions here. We had, let's see.
We could do Olympia predictions in the meantime.
Yeah, you guys want to do the Olympia predictions? I guess the big one is going to be, you know, the big one would be could Phil retake it? But now I guess there's even a bigger question is, you know, Sean Roden, if let's assume he can compete, first of all, okay? Let's say that they're like, okay, you know, we're going to let you do this. Based off of everything that's been happening over the last couple weeks, do you guys think he could be his best? Do you guys think he could do this?
I don't even keep track of it. I have no idea either. That's terrible. First, from what I understand, Phil is not, and I don't, look, I could be completely wrong. From what I understand, though, and what I've heard, Phil has no desire and is not going to prep. Now, maybe he's going stealth or covert. I don't know. Under the radar, whatever you want to call it. I have no idea. But from what I understand, he's not going to compete. So, you know, without Sean in it, and, you know, if Sean isn't competing and Phil isn't competing, there's got to be a lot of excited bodybuilders out there who are pretty fucking motivated to hit the gym right now.
Yeah.
You know.
Why do you think I'm dieting?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's not for that. But nonetheless, I'm sure that there, I mean, think about it. If you've got a chance to even go top 10, you probably are thinking, man, you know, I'm turning this up. They're taking more gear. They're training their asses off and trying to, you know, slide up that much closer to that top spot. I don't know who would threaten this year. I'd actually have to do my homework. And I'm just being honest with you. And people might find this surprising because I've heard it before, but it's just me being honest. I don't follow it because I don't care.
Who was 3, 4, and 5 last year?
Can't tell you.
I can't. I really can't remember off the spot either. I just remember how first and second went, and I remember how Rolly looked. I honestly, that's really crazy to think, but off base, I can't really even remember.
Blows that my mind. One guy, William
Bonick.
Bonick, yeah, he's got a pretty good physique.
Let's see. He's not too happy right now.
I think Ronnie Coleman's coming back.
Oh, you're gonna skip right over that? Seriously? You guys saw that.
He's not too happy? What's going on?
No, he's not too happy. Fired Neil Young, or Neil Hill. Neil Young. Neil Young.
He tried to laugh, too. Crosby, Stills, and Nash are available. Come on.
Anyway. Neil Young. Neil Hill. And from what I understand, he's got a history of not, I don't know. I got to be careful because I don't know Williams, so I don't know, and I don't want to go by what anybody else says.
Rumors. We were just talking about.
Yeah, you know, exactly. Disinformation. Hey, I caught myself. See, you have to remember, and not you guys, but the listeners need to remember that we hear a lot of shit that they don't hear. There's a lot of stuff behind the scenes and trainers talking and people talking at higher levels that, you know, you're like, well, I'm not supposed to say this. I'm not supposed to say this. I'm not supposed to know that. I'm supposed
right.
to know this. I can say that. I can't say this. And every now and then I fuck up and say something I'm not supposed to say and I don't know any better. They're like, you weren't supposed to say that. I'm like, I didn't think I was. Am I, was I not supposed to say that? I didn't know. You didn't tell me. So, yeah, there's a lot going on there.
Apparently. Okay. So
here, Lex Wheeler will move up.
He's not very happy, and it was on social media, and he said he was not. You could clearly tell. You can watch the video on his Instagram that he got rid of Neil and was bashing him pretty good for 30 minutes. I don't even think it's obviously not Instagram. It's YouTube or something that can handle a little longer rant, which is kind of funny to me, and I know this sounds shitty, but I don't care. When someone rants in like an accent like that, it's not very intimidating. It's not very, like, I'm not buying it because I'm caught up in the accent. I'm like, that just doesn't sound that tough. I don't know.
Well, here, let me tell you guys this here. I've got the top 10 for you from last year was from 10 on down. Steve Kuklo, Cedric McMillan, Nathan D'Ascia took 8th. Then Dexter was at 7th. I knew he went down, but I couldn't remember how far down. 6th was Big Ramy, Brandon Curry for 5th, Bonick for 4th, Rolly Winkler for 3rd, Phil Heath for 2nd, Sean Roden for 1st. Keep in mind that Bonick looked good this year, but Brandon Curry beat him at the Arnold Classic, and Rolly Winkler looked like he didn't look his best by any means. He looked
right.
He looked kind of out of shape by about 4 weeks. But hell, a lot could happen. You know, I mean, that was back in early spring, late winter. So you know, Roden, Phil Heath. And then Rolly Winkler. It was an interesting placing, man. You know, when you think about it. But Bonick's still up there. I mean, my guy Brandon Curry, I've really been liking him a lot this past year, especially after I got a chance to talk to him. And I just feel like he's done so much in the, you remember guys back like when Curry first turned pro, like 2011, he was a big sensation. But then, and he's always been up there. Like, he's gotten a lot of first places, and he's been in the mix for a lot of shows. But he just kind of, he fell short at the higher level. But, I mean, he did very well at the Arnold this year. I've heard it said that maybe he doesn't have the legs to be in Olympia. But I feel like his legs look great, and they look balanced to me. He looks like, to me, a better Sean Roden. If you want to compare him to Sean Roden, personally, I feel like he looks better with bigger arms and just more of a bubbly shape. So I'd give it to him. But I mean, Phil Heath. And then what else? There's some sort of rumor that Kai Greene potentially could come back, though I highly doubt that. Like, I don't think that's going to happen whatsoever. But if it did, the world would be shocked.
Yeah, I don't know to what degree Kai's physique has slipped. From when he competed, I don't really know. I know he still does a lot of, you know, personal appearances and things like that. And I would think that his nature would be that he would continue to, you know, train pretty much like he was trying to stay at the top of his game. But I don't know how true that is or not. It would be interesting to see because, you know, I mean, if you have Phil out of it and you have Sean out of it, I don't know too. I mean, I'd almost pose the question to Kai Greene, would it be worth winning the Olympia if those two guys weren't there? I don't know if it would or if it wouldn't. And I also don't know if winning the Olympia at this point would, other than giving him a fat paycheck, would really further the other things or the other interests that he has with, you know, with acting and other things that he's doing. I don't know if it would or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But it would be interesting to see him back on stage. I'm probably a more of a fan of him now than I used to be.
Because he's not around.
Yeah, kind of, pretty much. No, I think he kind of wears on me. I think I can kind of. I probably was harder on him years ago than I probably needed to be. He's kind of grown on me a little bit. I've seen more interviews and. He seems pretty, I like humility, and I think that he's certainly more humble than other people up there.
I think Flex Wheeler can just move up to the Opens and show him who the boss is.
Flex Wheeler, did you say?
Yeah.
Flex Lewis, I think is where
I mean, Flex Lewis.
We'd all love to see Flex Wheeler.
Hey, at least Neil Young wasn't training him.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I think Flex Lewis has got the best physique in bodybuilding.
So
he has. Wow.
Leslie Kai Greene was born on July 12th, 1975, making him 44 years old. You know, I mean, he's getting up there, too. So even if he were to come back and he were training, like, nonstop and trying to be his best, I mean, he put everything into it back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, 5 years ago or whatever. Like, he really put everything he had into it, and he was a younger version of himself. Could he be better than that? But I guess, does he have to be, though, I guess? Because maybe the same people aren't going to be there. I don't know.
I don't know. It's 5 years. I don't consider, I'm not beating up on you, but five years isn't back in the day.
Yeah.
It's not a long time ago. Now, I will say from personal experience that from 40 to 45 is day and night.
Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Now,
maybe if you're at that level, it's not that big of a deal. Cause I'm clearly not. You know, there have been older bodybuilders or bodybuilders that age that have, you know, continued to be very successful and not slip very much. But I don't know. I mean, the bottom line is I don't know. So I think because I don't know, I really would like to see it. And I would be, look, you know, I wanted to see Kevin Lavrone come back, and I was happy to see him come back. I wasn't one of those guys on the internet bashing him, saying he didn't belong or anything. I respect the guy for being a legend. Yeah. I'm not a shitbag. You know, I respect people for it. You make a comeback, and you know what? That's pretty badass to see you compete again. The fact that he wasn't 100% or wasn't what the old Kevin Lavrone was really kind of doesn't matter to me a whole lot. So if Kai came back and he was off, I'd have a lot of respect for him for coming back and getting back on stage and you know, running after it again.
I think I've got another one here. This is, let's see. I know that I had another one here. There it is. I had to click view more comments. Question for everyone. This is from Jake Radcliffe. One of the only things that seems to help my blood pressure is Cialis. Plus, it gives decent pumps and vascularity. But if I mix it with a pre-workout, I'm worried about potential health concerns with combining the two. Oh, he asked this with Dr. Scott, I think. No, we asked this on Drugs and Stuff. He said, my friend that just finished PA school doesn't think it's a good idea to use these two things together. I do 15 milligrams of Cialis every other day. I use various pre-workouts. Try to keep pre-workouts stim-free unless I'm beat from work. So have you guys heard of anything relating to health issues related to Cialis and pre-workout together, stimulants together?
Well, it's a vasodilator, so it depends on your pre-workout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a you know, bunch of beta alanine in there and stuff like that, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, you could get real flush. See you getting real flush, get a woody and you're flush. You know, maybe I did that before, so I can tell you. yeah, you got to be careful what's in the pre-workout, because if you're putting a bunch of, you know, vasodilators in your system, you know, you could have some issues. But I mean, you probably know it because you start getting red, you know, get that tingly feeling and all that. But I mean, Cialis' effect on blood pressure are relevant to what's causing your blood pressure to get high. And then even at that point, it's not that big of it doesn't have that strong of an effect. So you also need to figure out why your blood pressure is high, because there's could be your kidneys, could be a lot of things. It could be your sodium intake, could be, you know, there's hydration. So there's a lot of reasons for high blood pressure. It's not just a singular thing. Mm. So, because I've had blood pressure issues all my life. And when I may have used Cialis, it didn't help my blood pressure at all. But that was related to why my blood pressure was high. But yeah, watch all the, what's the other one? Not beta alanine. What's the other one that's a big vasodilator in the pre-workouts?
Citrulline?
Yeah. I mean, but yeah, that. There's another one. I can't remember the name of it. But combination of...
Arginine?
They're all... But beta alanine is the biggest one.
Okay.
So, you know, if you get a pre-workout, it's got a lot in there. You could actually almost... You could get dizzy and stuff from it. So, you got to be careful.
Rochelle Normandu says, S2H has a face, with an exclamation point.
Hi, Rochelle. Hi.
Let's see. All right, guys. I think I've got one more here. Do you think it's worthwhile to use a glucometer and a blood pressure cuff to track while bodybuilding? What do you pay attention to?
That cut out. Did you get that, Scott?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's, I've done, I think it's, especially if you're using insulin, but I think the one thing you can look for, especially if you're dieting, is if your blood sugar gets too low, or it takes, you get hyperreactive. So it goes way up, you know, and it maybe comes down into a normal level, but it has a huge drop. And that, if you're having problems with your diet, you know, if you feel like you're, again, getting lightheaded, or you're feeling kind of weak at times, you know, you get clammy, then I would say, you know, even if you're not diabetic or don't have any of those symptoms, it's worth monitoring that. And then, of course, blood pressure. Yeah. I mean, the two will kind of go together in some ways, depending on what's happening. You could have a hyperreactive blood pressure that drops a lot, and then your actual blood pressure will drop, of course, so that you can use those two to kind of it checks and balances on what's going on. So, yeah, there's a lot of people who do that. I don't think it's anything abnormal, or it's, you know, it's looking after yourself.
You know, he adds in too, because Skip, he was asking, you know, should you use a blood pressure cuff and a glucometer while you're on cycle? And he said, What do you look at? What are the things you look at in your health to make sure that you are healthy, you know, while you're on? I think where he's going. I think he used those two things as an example.
Gotcha. Yeah, you know, blood sugar levels, obviously, if you're using things like insulin, things like that, but with a regular, you know, AAS cycle and excuse me, and that sort of thing, you know, blood sugar isn't going to be altered enough with a steroid cycle to really be something that you need to pay extra attention to. I'm not saying not to. All I'm saying is it's not the first thing I think of when I'm trying to give pointers on how to monitor somebody's health or even monitor my own. Yeah. Blood pressure obviously is important. But I think too, it's the blood work. It's the, and it all matters, but you know, when you're on cycle, obviously all the numbers matter, but at the same time, your RBCs, hematocrit, and hemoglobin are huge. As far as blood viscosity, we've talked about that quite a bit. Your renal and your, you know, liver values and things. But I think the blood work is probably, blood work and the blood pressure, I think, are probably the things that stand out the most to me. Can you think of anything else, Scott?
No, but do it in the morning too. If you're just going to check both of them, and then that's, you know, that's probably, you know, get some baseline there and then check in the afternoon.
Yeah.
After about four meals or so.
I remember talking to Justin Harris a year, or I think it was last year, because, you know, he had done a lot with carbing people up and using a glucometer during that. And we had like a bunch of questions. He was actually going to come on here with us. That's what it was. He was going to come on here with us, and we couldn't get it lined up. So he and I just knocked out all the questions I gathered for him just one-on-one. And he had said, like, his thoughts on the glucometer, I think he's gotten so many glucometer questions, like, it drove him insane. Because he was like, his point was, he said, like, dude, people are using that thing way, way too often. You know, that it's like, yeah, it could be beneficial. And sure, because what? Gear can make you more insulin resistant. So it wouldn't hurt, you know.
No, it wouldn't hurt.
But, yeah. I mean, do you need to? You know, I think you managed to live a healthy life, you know, as a bodybuilder, Skip and Scott, for 20-plus years. No, you didn't live a healthy life?
No.
Healthy is a relative term.
Yeah, relative.
Very subjective.
Yeah. Healthy for a bodybuilder, you know. Right. But, yeah, I think that was his point. Anything else you guys can think of that would be beneficial for health?
No, I didn't get to answer the Cialis thing, and my only point was, I want to throw this in here.
Yeah, yeah.
Was just that if you're taking Cialis, I don't really think you need much of a pre-workout. You got the best of everything right there. Hey, it's Cialis, for fuck's sake. What else is going to increase, you know, or vasodilate more than... I think anything over that's just overkill. Or you like stimulants in your pre-workout, which could be too, but I'm not a stimulant guy outside of caffeine. Which means I am a stimulant guy, I guess, the more I think about it.
Yeah, what kind of answer is that?
Well, I don't like a lot of stimulants. I'm not a big fan of them, but I do like my caffeine. So I guess I have to think to myself.
I don't like drugs, but I like meth.
I don't know where he's going. I'm not real sure.
I don't either. That's about all we've got.
Me neither.
I think, you know what, there's a couple questions I'm missing here because we gathered them from various places. So, guys, if you're listening to this, any questions we didn't get to, I am going to save those for the next episode. Man, we made this happen. It almost didn't happen. Like, Scott, what was it? So I couldn't do it 2 weeks ago. I was traveling. Mm-hmm. And then Scott, almost, you said you couldn't do it today, and then you all of a sudden you could. And
no, I said I could originally. I think you guys get confused with my message.
Okay, but we made it. We made it. What do you guys think of this evening time show?
I think it's better than the noon one.
Yeah, it's certainly better than Mondays. You know, if for no other reason than my schedule.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would enjoy doing it on a Sunday, because, you know, Sunday's like, you know, family day. That's like hanging out with my wife or hang out with Scott's wife, but whatever I have going that day. My daughter, things like that. But it actually works out pretty good. And I think the thought that we're able to maybe increase, you know, the viewership of people chiming in and being a part of the actual recording would be kind of cool too. So I'm interested to see how that goes. But I like it. I'm more awake.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah.
What do you
gives me every other Sunday to check my son's room out to see what's going on in here.
Yeah, exactly.
And what is going on in there? Did you discover anything?
I don't know. When I was looking for that charger thing, I was afraid I'd run into like some old crumpled up sticky towels or something. Yeah.
I thought you were going to go with socks, but yeah, you don't touch any socks. Don't touch them. Yeah.
I do have a tack missing on the floor, though. I can't find. I'm hoping I don't step on it.
You'll find it. Yeah, the second you stand up, you'll find it.
Right? Mm-hmm. All right. Well, in that case, thank you to everybody who has been following along, listening to the show. Check out our sponsor, TrueNutrition.com, and Max Holiday. He shows up right now and says, "What's up, guys?" as we are closing the podcast. Max? Yeah. What's up, Max? Shout out to Max. We're leaving. But anyway, yeah, guys.
Max, we're here. We're going. Yeah.
Thanks, guys, for listening to the show. S2H, Skip Hill. You guys at home, if you want to check out more from Skip, reach out to him. TeamSkip.com. Go to the Intense Muscle Message Board and check out everything DC Training over there. And that is it. We'll see you soon, guys, for another episode of Blood, Sweat, and Gear. I'm Scott McNally, S2H Skip Hill. We are out of here.
Oh.
I am a nightmare walking, psychopath talking. King of my jungle, just a gangster stalking. Living life like a firecracker, quick as my fuse. Vendetta is a death, that's the colors I choose. Red or blue, cuz of blood, it just don't matter. Sucker died for your life when my shotgun scatters. Colors. The gangs of LA will never die. Just multiply colors. Colors.
Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Colors. Col